Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Most of us like to know, I wouldn't say most of us, I bet you all of us like to know where we're going, how we're going to get there, and how we're doing. It's just human nature to like to know where you're going, how you're going to get there, and how you're doing. We like to have a sense of purpose in our lives, don't we? We like to have a sense of a plan in our lives. We like to have a sense of the progress that we're making in our lives. When we plan for a trip, I'm all about getting agreement on the destination first before we decide to go somewhere. That's a good thing to do, right? Where are we going? What's the destination on this journey? And then we like to start talking about not only where are we going to go, but when we get there, where are we going to stay? Where are we going to stay? Will we drive there? How will we get there? Will we drive? Will we walk? I hope not. Will we take a plane? And will we fly? If we fly, which airport? To which airport? All these little details on the purpose, the plan, and a sense of progress. And then as we're traveling, I like to know how we're progressing in that journey. One of my favorite things that I like about my phone is the way it serves as a progress report when I'm driving my car. I like the Waze app. Does anybody use Waze? I see a couple of hands here. Waze is great. Because I use it every Wednesday when I travel from Columbus to Maplewood from my job over in downtown Columbus, because it gives me a sense of how much time I need to get here based on all the things happening between here and there. I like it because it'll give me a view of exactly what time I will arrive. Like, I open up that app on my phone and I punch in 110 Longview Avenue, and it even knows. Like, I just open it up on Wednesday afternoon and it says, Pastor Joe, you're going to Maplewood, aren't you? And I'm like, well, yes, Waze app, I am. And I punch the button, and it tells me what time I can expect to arrive. And it's usually correct, down to the minute, as I'm driving. It also gives me an update as I'm driving over here across I-70. It gives me an update on how many miles are left on the trip, which is nice. I'm making progress. And it provides intelligence from other drivers. Other drivers, it's like a community driving app, because other drivers are punching in information about the roadway to give you an idea of what's going on with regard to the journey that you're on towards your destination. Provides intel from other drivers about potholes. And I mean, boy, the past couple of weeks, it's pothole season, folks. It warmed up after the cold, and there are some big chuck holes out there, and we need to get ODOT on it quick, because I'm seeing cars all over the place getting their tires flattened by hitting these potholes in the road. It'll tell you about traffic jams. This is my favorite thing. The Waze app will tell you about speed traps. Because the popo is right around the corner. Slow down. The people who invested in the Waze app, who created this thing, were pretty brilliant, because they understood that fundamentally people want to know where they're going, how they're going to get there, and how they're doing, how they're progressing on their journey to get there. It's really the essence of this new sermon series that we're kicking off this morning, Giving Up. Between now and the end of February, we're going to be focusing on our personal journey with Jesus Christ. We're going to be focusing on your personal journey with Jesus. We're going to be focusing on some fundamental questions with regard to that journey. And we're going to start it this morning. Where are we going on this spiritual journey with Jesus? When we choose Jesus as our Savior, when we commit our lives to Him, we start this journey. Where are we going? How do we get there? We're going to just fundamentally talk about how we get there. And how are we doing along the way? How are we doing along the way? First of all, where in the world are we heading on this journey with Jesus? When we accept Him as Savior and we embrace God's purpose for our lives, When I surrender my heart to Jesus and accept Him as my personal Savior, I'm saying, God, I am embracing Your purpose for my life. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about what I've always wanted or my agenda. I'm surrendering my life and my heart to You, and it is now about Your agenda for my life. So when we accept Him, it's all about embracing this purpose, and that purpose, the goal for a person who's a disciple of Christ, essentially is to become more like Jesus. The goal is to become more like Jesus, to become more Christ-like. Pretty simple, elementary stuff this morning. This is not brain surgery as we walk through this. We think this whole goal of becoming more like Jesus is so important that we've updated our mission statement here at Maplewood. Our mission statement: we are learning to love God and we are learning to love one another. That is the essence of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, to become more Christ-like. It's all about becoming like Him, taking on the attributes, the characteristics of Christ. That's what this journey is all about. That sounds pretty good, right? But then when you dig underneath this, it's like, well, what does that really mean to become Christ-like? What does it mean to become Christ-like? And this becomes the second part of the equation. We know where we're going. We're trying to become more like Christ. But how do we get there? We know where we're going. How do we get there? It's one thing to say we're becoming like Christ, but you got to put some meat on those bones, because those words, I'm becoming like Christ, can be pretty vague. And we need a little bit more specificity to help guide us in who He wants us to become. I've been studying the Word since November. Over the past few months, I've uncovered some new truth. You know, when you look at the Word so often, sometimes it's just the same truth coming forward. But the Lord has been revealing some new truth to me, looking at things a little bit differently, perceiving His purpose for our lives and how we get there a little bit new differently. And I've had a new realization over the past couple of months about the character of God. What is the character of God? We talk about the character of God. And when I say the character of God, what words come to mind when we think of the character of God? God, holy, power, loving. Any others? Faithful, Jesus. What was that? Purity. Forgiving. God is love. He cares. He's the provider. God's a jealous God. We read that in the Bible too. He's a jealous God. He's a God of wrath and judgment from what we read in the Bible. But He's also this God of holiness and love, right? All these things are true. But I'm interested in getting underneath that. What does it mean to be a holy God? What does that look like? Because when I go out on the street and talk to people who are not church and I say, oh, God's a holy God, they're like, holier than what? You know? I got holes in my socks. Pastor Vicky was poking out a hole in my t-shirt this morning while I was eating my Cheerios. She said, you should get rid of that. I said, it makes me holy. But what does that mean underneath that, these words, these churchy words that we just kind of slap on? But what is it really getting at? And I want to get underneath those words and find out who God really is. What's His character really like? And as I've been working my way through the Scriptures, from the Old Testament through the New Testament, it has come into focus for me that at the very core of God's nature is generosity. Generosity is at the very core of God's nature. You're like, Pastor, you're crazy. Go back to your Cheerios. But as you look at Scripture, this becomes very apparent to me. If it's the goal for us to become Christ-like, then we need to look like who God is, right? He's the pattern. God is the pattern. And I believe generosity is at the nucleus. It is at the nucleus of who God really is. Think about this with me this morning. We're going to take a little trip through what you know about the Bible. God has a very giving nature. God's nature is very giving, very generous. His creative power is a demonstration of His generosity. Just tap into that. Bear with me for a couple moments. Think about that. His creative power is a demonstration of His generosity. I'll take you all the way back. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 in the creation story, we see God generously revealing His creative nature to the universe. Let there be light. Let there be expanse. Let there be water under the sky. Let there be land. These are quotes. This is God, the Word of God. Let there be the sun and the moon. Let there be creatures in the water. Let there be creatures on the land. It's by God's generous nature that the known creation was set into motion. Let there be is God allowing creation to happen. If God held back on His creative power, we wouldn't be here. It's only by God's generosity demonstrated through His creative nature that He set this reality into motion. The universe only exists because of God's generosity. If you get right down to it, under the covers, to the core, His creative power is a demonstration of His generosity. We also see His generosity in the creation of humanity. Flip over to Genesis chapter 2. What does He do? He gives Adam breath. He breathes life. He gives life to humanity. He breathes. It's like the first example of CPR. He breathes life into Adam. He gives Adam authority over all creation. You see His generosity? He gives Adam authority over generation. And guess what? This is one of the ultimate mind blowers about God's generosity. He doesn't just give Adam breath and Adam authority. He gives Adam free will. It's only by God's generosity that we're given the ability to have free choice. And it's what distinguishes us from every other creature in God's grand universe. We have free will. God gave that to us. You weren't born with that. You weren't entitled to that. God gave you free will, His generosity. And He gives Adam direction. He gives him free will, but He also gives him direction. You see His generosity playing in here where He's like, hey, I'm going to give you the ability to choose on your own, Amy, but I'm also going to give you a box to play in. I'm going to give you some rules. And He gave Adam and Eve boundaries, which He didn't have to do, but because He's generous and He loves and cares for them, He did. He let Adam know, stay away from that tree of knowledge. You are ruling over all this creation. You are the authority here. But the tree of knowledge, that is off limits. His generosity doesn't end with creation, with the creation story. He gives Abraham, we saw the story of Abraham. He gave Abraham a vision. You know, I'm going to make your offspring like the stars in the sky. He gives Abram a vision. He gives Abram a promise. The generous nature of God. He is the giver. Nobody else could have given Abraham that vision or that promise. Only that could come from God.
Amen.
He gives Moses and the Israelites the law. He gives humanity the law for the nation of Israel so they know right from wrong and they know the path to redemption. He gives Israel a king. He didn't want to give him a king, but they were all like, oh, we need a king because every other cool nation in the world has a king. God, we need a king. And He's like, you don't need a king. They're like, we need a king to be cool. He gives them a king. He sets things in motion. God gives Israel a king. He gives, as we go through the Old Testament, He gives the prophets. He gives the prophets a message of hope that a Messiah is coming and will deliver the people, will deliver all of humanity. In John 3:16, it is spelled out for us, the very nature of God, in the most familiar verse that you all know by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Generosity. In Christ, God gives us a chance for redemption. He gives us humanity. He gives humanity a chance for restoration. He gives us a second chance. Do you see it? Generosity is at the core of who God is. And Christ, being like God, the very image, the Son of God, Christ, what does Jesus do? Jesus gives His life. He dies on the cross. By His stripes we are healed. Because He gave Himself up when He didn't have to. But He gives Himself. He gave His life. What more could He give? What more could He give? Famous chorus that I like to sing. In Acts chapter 2, as we continue to move through the story, so God's creative generosity and all the things He's given through the Old Testament, Jesus was given by God. Jesus gives His life so that we can be saved, and the giving doesn't stop there. You just fly up to Acts chapter 2. God gives His people the Holy Spirit. You know, this world would be totally different had God not dispensed His Holy Spirit at Pentecost for the church. We would be in a totally different place, but we live in the age of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit is something that has not always been widely available in creation. It's only been since that moment in time when the disciples were in the upper room and like a mighty wind and tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they were given power and they spoke in tongues and they were able to heal and the church of Jesus Christ spread out from Jerusalem, not because they were really handsome or really persuasive, but because God gave them the Holy Spirit to go do the work of the kingdom. And His Holy Spirit is something that's given to us. And guess what? The Holy Spirit, as part of the Trinity, as part of God, the nature of God is also a giving entity. The Holy Spirit's giving. The Holy Spirit gives us insight, teaches us. Jesus told His disciples, you know, there's a lot of things you still need to work on and learn, but I'm going to give you the Paraclete, the Counselor, and He's going to teach you. He's going to give to you new understanding. He's going to guide you. He's going to empower you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to abide with you. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is giving. Do I have to go on to prove my case this morning? Generosity is at the core of God's very nature. And until about 2.5 months ago, I'd never really looked at things that way. But the Lord's opened my eyes up to this new kind of way to look at God and who He is and what does that mean for us. Generosity is at the core of His nature, and generosity, folks, is at the core of what it means to become like Christ.
Amen.
Do you want it in English? Not going to put the holiness word on it this morning. I'm not going to put the sanctification word on it. I'm not going to put any big theological concepts around it. If you want to become more like Christ, if you're on that journey with Jesus, where are you going? You're on this journey to become more generous. Generosity is the key. It's at the core. Where are we going on this spiritual journey? To be more Christ-like. What does it mean? Quite simply, we're on a journey to learn how to become vessels of generosity. Of generosity. You might say, Pastor, if God has a giving nature, why are there things to which He says no? If He's always giving, if His nature is always giving, then why does He say no to some things? Why did He say no to the tree? You know, why does He define sin for us? Because if He were 100% generous, He'd just let us do whatever we wanted. Right? I hear that all the time. I had that conversation yesterday. It's a good question. He's a generous God at the core of His nature. But He is also holy. And in Him there is no sin. And He is also just. And He will bring justice to the world. It's in His very nature that justice happen. So He's generous at His very core. But that generosity is in harmony with the rest of His nature. Does that make sense? He will never contradict His nature. Now you and your free will may do so. We're going to talk about that here in a couple of seconds. But He is generous. He does not contradict Himself. And He sets up limitations because He knows what's good for us. So how do we get there, Pastor? We know where we're going. We know we're going to be, we're trying to be Christ-like. And that means we're trying to become people of generosity. People of generosity is the core here. The path to becoming more Christ-like is to become people who adopt a generous lifestyle. To become Christ-like is to become more generous. Okay? But here's the rub. To become more Christ-like is to become more generous. But when Adam disobeyed in the garden, he essentially exercised his will to take the apple rather than give. You see what's happening here? The serpent deceived Adam and Eve into stop trusting God and his generous nature and to take for themselves. And from that point on, humanity has lived. We are all born into this template. We are all born into this template that is the exact opposite of God's generous giving nature. We're born with this survival instinct. You can see it more clearly in a two-year-old. Okay? You can see it more clearly in a two-year-old, but as we get older, and I'm talking to all of us, not just the two-year-olds this morning, as we get older, we learn to cleverly disguise our taker nature. We learn to disguise it. We learn to put flowers around it and make it look good, but really it's all about us taking and not giving. First few words from most two-year-olds' mouths. One is mine. That's mine. Give it to me. That's a taker nature. You see that? The other word that a two-year-old will say probably before anything else, mine and no. No is a word of denial. That's taker nature. Give it to me. It's mine. No, you can't have it. We're born into this world with a taker nature, which is the exact opposite of God's generous character. Our journey with Jesus is all about becoming less of a taker and more of a giver in every corner of our lives. Every corner of our lives. I'm not just talking about our wallets, folks. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach on tithing for 6 weeks. I'm talking about adopting this. Oh, you'd love that. What, you want me to? Okay. Oh, no, okay. I'm talking about generosity showing up in every corner of our lives, every corner of our hearts, so that we become just naturally a person of generosity. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we've been studying that over the past couple of weeks, Wednesday night Bible study. If you want to dig into the Word, come join us. Good conversations. But we've been reading in that passage about how we offer ourselves up as living sacrifices. We surrender. And in doing so, our minds are renewed and transformed. And that transformation is going from somebody who's a taker to somebody who's a giver. And we can't do that on our own. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to transform our minds. We need to submit ourselves to God in order to move along on this journey. This journey with Jesus is all about becoming more generous in every aspect of our lives. It's at the heart of learning to love God and learning to love others. Generosity. Generosity. I want to introduce you this morning to a passage that will be the focus for us over the next couple of weeks. This passage came to me just a couple of weeks ago as Pastor Vicki and I were talking about this series, but I think that we're going to pull this apart in different ways and with other scriptures, but I think this is at the core. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. We're going to really focus on the last few verses, but we've got the last two verses on the screen as you're turning there in whatever translation you have today. I think that Paul's letter to the Corinthians here really gets to the nature of what it means to be a Jesus follower. I'm going to start reading at verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Generosity. He loves a cheerful giver. It comes from within side. And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, not just money, all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound, not just in giving money, but in every good work. Generosity is about our whole transformation journey. It's about becoming a more generous person. Verse 9, as it's written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Generosity, when we become people of generosity, the fruit of our lives becomes righteousness. Isn't that amazing? And in verse 11, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Not just talking about our money, we're talking about on every occasion. Generosity, it's not about money or things. It's about attitude. It's about intent in our hearts.
Amen.
You know, if you had to answer this question before God this morning, he would say, if you gave an honest assessment of yourself, are you a giver or a taker? How would you answer that question in your life? If I had to put a label on you, are you a giver or a taker? What would the progress report be in our lives? What would the progress report be? It's about adopting a lifestyle. If we flip it to the next slide, Jason, this is kind of how we're going to break this down over the next several weeks. It's this lifestyle of generosity. It's about adopting a lifestyle of forgiveness. We're going to talk about this next week, about how forgiveness, how mercy, how grace, at the very core of mercy and grace is generosity. We're going to dig into this next week. Forgiveness is part of this generous lifestyle. Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. Having a heart of gratitude for where God has brought us to up to this moment and what He's doing in our life. That's a huge component of becoming a generous person, of becoming Christ-like on this journey to become like Jesus. Caregiving. You know, it's not just about taking, it's about giving, and it's about being the hands and feet of Jesus wherever we go. We're going to dig into this. We're going to take an in-depth look at what it means. Caregiving. Resource giving. Not just your money, but your time, your talent. God is like, He's like giving us everything. He's pouring into us. He's investing in us. And if we're going to adopt the pattern of Christ, we're going to be giving of our time, resources, and talents. We're going to be pouring that into other people. That's what building the kingdom of God is all about. Faith giving. We talked a lot last fall about getting our story down. And what's my spiritual story? How can I share my faith? How can I give my faith to other people so they can be pointed to the cross of Jesus Christ and have their lives transformed and changed and redeemed and renewed? This is all the promise of this passage in 2 Corinthians. If you give, the scripture doesn't say if you give you're going to become wealthy in earthly terms. It doesn't say that. Paul writes in verse 11, you will be made rich in every way. All these different ways when we become or striving to become people of generosity. At Maplewood, as followers of Christ, our mission statement is not to get rich. It's not our mission statement. It's to learn to love God and to learn to love other people. As followers of Christ, our goal isn't to get rich. That's a taker attitude. Boy, that permeates the world. How much money can I make? How much stuff can I get? How much stuff can I accumulate? Can I have a prettier car than my neighbor, a bigger boat, or a bigger house? That's a taker. Consumer mentality is a taker mentality. As followers of Christ, our goal isn't to get rich, it's to become Christ-like, to become generous, learning to give like God gives. There's a reason why I called this series Giving Up, because to give up really means to give like God gives. I'm going to give up. I'm going to give like He gives. So the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about what it means to give up. to give like He gives in all these different corners of our lives so that we can allow God to do a new thing in our hearts and our minds. And my prayer is for our church that He will open up our eyes to new things that we need to be giving up to Him so that we can give up like Him to become the pattern of Christ. As we practice generosity in every corner of our lives, folks, I think we will be transformed into the people that God always intended us to be.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.